Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. On today's show, we have Melissa Harris from Moton, Pennsylvania. She's a 22-year teacher who's taken a spin on an old love and turned it into new pottery. You'll learn today how she got into it, what she's doing with it, and what you can take away from her journey. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. So Melissa, I did select a quote for you today. It's by Ralph Waldo Emerson, and it simply states, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." Before we get started today, can you reflect on that?
Oh, sure. I have a great many varied interests, and I dip my toe in all the time. I've tried lots of different things, but for me, full immersion doesn't happen very often, and it's a totally different level of enthusiasm that I have here that really has turned it into a passion. And it's the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. So I just got started with this, and without knowing what direction it was going to go.
Melissa, talk to us about how this passion began.
Well, about 2 years ago, I had a half-year sabbatical from teaching. And I realized that while I have a career that I love as a teacher, I definitely had some room in my life. And at that time, it also struck me, I had no idea what my life was going to look like after my teaching career was over. I teach social studies, so I've taught a lot about the ancient people who make the pots. And I've spent a lot of time myself in museums and cultural centers just viewing the pots. So for me, making the pots myself was a totally natural progression.
It sounds like a natural progression for somebody who is artistic. But
well,
I assure you, I couldn't look at pots, appreciate them, and then go make them.
Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I didn't think that I could either. Art has only been in my life as an appreciator. We've got a tremendous art center here in Reading, Pennsylvania. It's called the Gogglework Center for the Arts. And it's a nonprofit teaching and learning center. It's actually in an old factory that used to make goggles. So it's a Gogglework Center for the Arts, and it's a nonprofit teaching and learning center. And the goal is to make art accessible to everyone. And it has a very big focus on teaching in particular. And many artists have studios there. I belong to the ceramic studio there. There's a hot glass studio, a huge wood shop. It's fantastic. And I've sort of been sniffing around it for a while. I've always wanted to become involved with that. It was more coming from the perception of being an appreciator. But I just decided a year and a half ago, I was just going to take a class, you know, and just going to go in and take a wheel throwing class. I needed something else to do.
Can you tell me what was your hesitation?
I'm trying to think how long it was that it actually had opened. It's probably been open for 10 years. And I thought, okay, I'm going to volunteer there. How can I get involved? I'd go see shows there. But it always had been somewhat intimidating because I'd never been an artist. You know, I cook, you know, my artistry was making food, you know, so I never really had an opportunity or, I don't know, the nerve, I guess, to explore that side.
And Melissa, that's something that we talk about a lot here on Motivate Me, is our limiting beliefs and what is holding us back from attempting or trying new things. What were you doubting about yourself? Was it fear? Was it talent? What specifically for our listeners, for people who are sitting there and they're staring at a building that they want to get involved in whatever capacity, to finally sign up for that class?
Well, I think because I had always been on the other side of it, and I had never really thought of myself or thought that that was something that I could do. It just hadn't been part of my repertoire, you know, and I'm in my 50s. So at this point, I really had no idea what was going to come of this. I just thought, okay, finally, to tell you the truth, I signed up with a friend. I was going to go with my neighbor, and we were just going to go and do this and see what happened. And as it turned out, when she finally went to sign up, the class was closed. So I was going to be doing this by myself now. And just that, it took a lot of courage. I mean, it sounds silly to me now because I'm always telling my own students, you know, I'm always reflecting with them about this, but it takes a lot of courage to walk in that door. And I tell myself, I only have to be brave for 20 minutes. You know, that's 20 minutes. I'm going to give it my all. And if I hate it, I'm an adult. I could leave. You know, I could just sit there. I have lots of options after that first 20 minutes.
And that's really great advice for listeners to say, hey, give yourself 20 minutes. You are an adult. But what I also love that you said, I love a bunch of things that you just said. The first thing that I loved so much is that you said envision. You really couldn't envision yourself being this talented person. And motivate me, our three big steps are envision, explore, execute. And the first step is to envision it for yourself. And I think so many of us, we want to do something, but we don't see it in ourselves yet. And so sometimes we don't do it then.
But right.
You said it, you saw it, you were going to go with a friend, and then you were still brave enough to go in there by yourself. What happens next?
Here's a little background on this too. In the mid-70s, in the 1970s, my parents operated one of those make-it-yourself ceramic studios, and it was in the basement of our home. And this process, what I do and what I'm doing now, is entirely different from that. But when I walked in there, the smell, you know, the clay, the terminology, it was all familiar. And I just had never really realized it before, you know, how important that was to me.
I have to tell you something. In the 70s, my mother had two kilns in the basement. And she gave ceramic classes.
That's exactly what my parents did. That's so funny.
I can really, the imagery here for me, the smell of the clay, the feels, the heat.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. I knew I had some background that I didn't even realize, you know, and I think that that is a really important thing too, is we're a sum total of all of our experiences, everything we have ever seen and felt and heard and done, and all of our successes and failures. And the realization that it's from this, especially if you're older, from this that we're able to draw. And, you know, I just came to learn I have a lot more to contribute than I thought. And it was just a question of unearthing it. You know, it's like starting with what you already have when you don't even realize that you have it.
Absolutely. And as a professional coach, one of the biggest things that I focus on is how life is a process. And we can take all the different places we've been, just like me doing this show with you guys right now. I just feel like all the points of my life have converged to this moment now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're taking all of these little pieces of experience and it creates the person you are now. And then when you add something that you're really enjoying this, you're digging this. And I've seen you, because we've known each other for years, and I have seen you through Facebook just completely light up. I mean, you are digging it.
I really am. I love it. And it's not easy. I would say it's been a total slugfest, at times a street brawl. There's nothing intuitive about doing pottery, but there's something about it. I just feel it's very grounding, since it's working with earth. It's very meditative. You know, you have to stay perfectly still and everything around you has to spin. It's social. It's historic, it's spiritual. It's kind of brings together a lot of different aspects of who I am.
Right. I agree. Just knowing what I know of you, the minute I saw you doing that, I thought, and then to see your work is beautiful. I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's definitely a work in progress.
Tell me, what experience did you have that made you feel like you were in the right direction? What happened that you said, yes, I can do this?
It's hard to explain, but it really is or was love at first sight. There was no question to me that this was not going to be something that I was going to continue. And it was just having my hands in the clay. There was something about it. I don't know that there was a particular moment other than the first time I put my hands in the clay. It's difficult, you know, it's still difficult. I still have all kinds of challenges, but it was love, you know, it's a love affair with clay, which sounds funny, but it's true.
I think it's great. I think there's probably going to be a lot of people who are listening right now that can relate to the fact that you have a love affair with a passion that makes you happy and it brings you complete joy and abundance into your life.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, the other thing that we're doing with Motivate Me is we're putting together a Facebook group called Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. So this way people who are, you know, somebody could be listening to you right now thinking, you know, I would really like to talk to this person before I take my next step. Maybe they would have a little advice about whatever I want to do. So they'll be able to connect with you with the information you give at the end of the show.
But okay.
Also through the Ultimate Support System, we'll start this group and listeners can connect with guests and guests with guests and all sorts of good stuff. So we can check out each other's websites. We can support each other. Somebody may want to buy a piece of your pottery. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's actually, Facebook has been extremely important to me in this process.
I've actually pulled your Facebook page up and showed other people your work.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
Say, look at what she's doing. She's only been at this a year and a half and it's, and the necklace. I need one of those necklaces.
Yeah, that's actually, I just started playing around with the little pieces of clay that's left over from other things that I make. And like I said, it's very meditative and to just have that clay in your hands and, you know, work with the clay. And I started making necklaces. I also find unglazed clay to be really very sensual. And I love the feel of that too. And I started making necklaces for myself and I did get a couple compliments. So I started making some more. And I guess one thing sort of leads to another.
I also love those custom sticks that you put in the herb pots.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's another. I do plant stakes. Yep, that's another thing. And I made those for my mother for Mother's Day. And then I've gotten some other people interested in them. That's funny because they're two different, that is slab building, which is kind of like an aside from what I mainly do, which is work on the wheel. So even going off in that direction and finding interest in that direction was kind of unexpected for me.
Well, what I love about what you're doing though, it's completely organic. I mean, I can tell that you just love this material and want to do things that you love most with it. So for example, how you made the shot glasses, how you make the coffee cups. So you have these families of things, but then you also make the jewelry that's so specific. I love that necklace, the round with the leather band. I think that's beautiful. And then how you, you know, take that and integrate it into a love for your love for cooking, which is how I saw it when I saw the sage steak in the pot with the little sage plant. I thought that was so specific to you, and it's just branching in all these natural directions is what it feels like from the outside watching you.
Yeah. Well, when I first started, when I posted that, started up that Facebook page, I had put down a journey of pottery and food, and I thought that I would be more journeying into food, but I enjoy making things that have to do with food, that's for sure. Although my artistic aesthetic leans to things that look like they were unearthed, or, you know, like maybe found in a shipwreck. Like I really like that kind of imperfect, messy kind of look.
I do too. I love that. And I love materials. I love wood. I love rock. I love stone and marble.
Yes.
I'm with you on those things. You know, something else I saw that you posted where you bring those two things together. I have a snapshot memory. So I remember seeing bowl of food, and you said nothing better than serving the food I made in the bowl I made.
That is very true. My house right now is just full of all of these different various containers I've made for food. Mashed potato bowls, that's a specialty. For some reason, I make this bowl, and it turns out it's always just the perfect size for mashed potatoes. Now, that's what I think of when I'm making it. It's going to be a mashed potato bowl.
Right. And what about the set of little somethings? I don't remember what you call them, but your nieces and nephews come over and play with them.
Oh, my little tiny, that's another thing that I made. I call them wish pots or peace pots. They're teeny tiny little pieces of leftover clay also. You know, and another thing that I do, my nieces and nephews are over and they draw those sweet little pictures that they draw. I've been grabbing those and I transfer them onto a mug for them too, which they come out really sweet. There's so many different directions with this.
And not only are there so many directions, but I believe that when somebody starts a business with such great intention, which is how I feel so completely about what you're doing and about what I'm doing right now, reaching out to people like you to share your story with listeners so that they can improve the quality of their lives. And I believe when somebody gets into something so organically and naturally with such honest, true intentions, the work is beautiful.
I would agree. It's hard to say, you know, where I'm going or where I'm headed. I know I'm just going to be doing this for as long as I possibly can.
What have you learned about yourself through this process?
Well, it's a very humbling experience. Working with clay and maybe working with any artistic medium, it brings up every single part of your ego when you're creating something. I would say I am learning to be gentler with myself, to be not as critical, to allow things to come to me rather than to necessarily go chase after everything. Like try opening a space, I think is what's been important in a learning for me.
Which really I feel is what I just said I noticed in your work, that it's just branching out. And I believe that probably is from the opening up and not judging yourself so harshly and just trusting yourself.
Yeah, I had put a piece in a student show and one of my artist friends had suggested, she just said, she thought it was important that we just put the work out there, just put it out there. And I did. And it was such a wonderful freeing experience to now that I'm starting to, because for a long time, I didn't give anything away either. You know, I just didn't, everything I just held on to myself. And it's a big step to put it out there into the world. And, you know, it's opening yourself up to criticism or judgment, and to be able to put that aside and just say, you know, people are going to say what they want, but this is me and this is my work and a piece of me is in this. And that's not something that I can allow other people to discuss or judge.
As a writer, I understand 100% how vulnerable that feels.
Yes.
So did you get any good advice along the way?
Well, the manager of the ceramic studio, who's also one of my teachers, James Pastor, he once told me to just let my work come to me and allow the space to fill, to be open to it and receive it instead of concentrating on what is marketable, what are other people going to like, what is going to sell best. And instead, you know, in the process that he's always taken, it's always been allowing it to come to him. So I think that was, for me, that was helpful because it took my focus off of, can I make a living doing this? And more of, this is what I love to do. And if I focus on that part, then my work is going to reflect that.
That's really great advice. I mean, it really seems like you took that personally and applied it.
Yes, I would say I really have been. It's also, it feels better. It doesn't feel, it just, it feels, it, when we tend to put other people's judgments first, it's a very contracting kind of experience. We become, I feel, we become contracted. And to allow yourself to stand in your own light, allow yourself to expand rather to contract. That's something that comes from within us and is not something that you get from other people.
Right. That's beautiful. Now, if there's somebody out there right now who's thinking about getting into pottery, or somebody who's already into pottery and would love to have a resource or a book of some kind that could guide them further and find helpful or motivational, do you have a suggestion you can make?
I do. I, of course, as a teacher, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm always doing it from a perspective as a teacher. I read everything I can get my hands on. And for my specific craft, there's a book called Functional Pottery by Robin Hopper. It's been around for a while. And he goes into a lot of the details that beginning potters could really use to know. Like, for example, there's a reason that a handle on a mug is the distance it is from the mug. You know, it's because it has to do with the thickness of the human finger. You know, no matter how big you are, you only need about an inch and a half worth of space. So there's some really particular things that are specific to pottery. Another book that I would recommend, this was a book that was recommended by an artist friend, and I'm just starting to read it because it's a workbook. It's called The Artist's Way, and it's by Julia Cameron, and it's subtitled A Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity. And the book it's set up as a weekly course that's intended to help us discover and what she calls recover our creative selves. And all the things that you've been talking about not judging and allowing, all of those are set up in her book a week at a time, where you read a part, she gives you a chance to reflect, and then she has exercises that she recommends that you're doing. So that's on my list. I've only just begun that.
Interactive workbooks are always amazing.
Yes.
What about on the contemporary resource front? Anything online or, you know, an app or a site or anything that you find beneficial?
Well, you know, I would say the absolutely best advice, first of all, is for anybody who's interested in getting started with the arts. Aligning yourself with a professional artist studio has been the most tremendous thing for me. I think that having that opportunity to grow within a community and becoming part of a community, and I feel really lucky to have found a community at GogaWorks. In addition to that, I had no idea of the potential for joining these different Facebook groups. And I belong to one in particular. It's a closed group, and it's called Clay Buddies. And it's been invaluable. There are clay artists from around the world, and they post. They'll put up pictures of what they're working on. We do different things like Mugshot Monday and Throwback Thursday, you know, those kinds of Instagram kinds of things. People are able to ask questions about the techniques, and most people are willing to share. Some people post things and they want you to take their class, but most people are sharing. I just read one posting this morning where a woman was working on a 10-pound bowl with 10 pounds of clay and accidentally hit the foot pedal and the bowl went flying, and that was the end of that. And, you know, to share the pitfalls and share the successes, it's been through Facebook, and it's been tremendous. I have learned so much through that group.
I actually think somehow I came across that group one day and messaged you and said, hey, there's this group, Clay Buddies. And you said, yes, I'm already a part of it.
So- yes, that's right. That's right. I remember that. I belong. That one's my favorite. There was a big educational conference recently in Providence, Rhode Island. The Clay Buddies set up a meetup where if you were a member of this Clay Buddies group, you came with a shot glass and you exchanged it with somebody else. So it's an amazing online virtual community.
How much fun is that?
That's a big draw for me.
Right. Yeah. To have a sense of community and friendship and networking. And it's amazing with the internet how you can expand your surroundings and the people in your lives and your interests so quickly.
Yes, I definitely agree. It's been a really beneficial group.
Okay, so here's the most important part of our show. We call this Motivate Me, Express to Success. This is where you give me 1-minute responses. Envision, explore, execute. So Melissa, how can our listeners envision being a potter for themselves?
Well, I think it's more than just asking what you love to do. I think if people think about where they have space in their life, and if you don't have space, where you can find some, and finding a pause, and how that's filled, whether it's with pottery or whatever creative endeavor or not, you know, whatever endeavor it is, it's where can you find that space?
Now, how should they go about exploring this for themselves?
I would say to ask yourself, what would you do if success or failure was totally irrelevant?
Excellent. That's a total coaching technique. Mm-hmm. Do if you had all the money you needed or if you had no fear. What would you do if you didn't care what anybody else thought? That's great.
Yep. That's exactly what I've done. Right. And I have a tremendous support system with my husband with that too.
Right. That always helps. So to execute, what do you feel is a great first step in this direction?
I think sign up, show up, just start a conversation, look for a group on, you know, on Facebook or in another community, just putting yourself out there, even just to dip a toe in, just to see what can be, what's possible.
Okay, so if life, like we said, truly is a process, let's dream big. And see, where does Melissa see herself 5 years from now?
Well, I definitely want to keep refining my work, and I'd love to make it my primary vocation. And I'd also like to be an advocate for having handmade, beautiful, functional pottery, specifically pottery, to be in everyone's hands. It's a real connection to our past. And I don't know that there is anything that anybody is creating by hand that is needed, because there's so much that can be manufactured so easily. But there is, I think that there's an intrinsic value. You know, when you pick up a piece of pottery that somebody made, it has a long history that I think is important. And I think it's being an advocate for that and helping to promote an art from that perspective is what I'd like to be doing.
I know you have me wishing that my coffee mug here or my tea mug that I'm having today was actually pottery. Wish wrap my fingers around that nice ancient stone.
Uh-huh.
What closing advice can you give listeners?
I think allow yourself to pause and consider seeking abundance from what already is for you. Especially if you are older, as I am, and are looking at new directions, just allowing that to happen.
Giving yourself permission.
Yes.
Excellent. Really great advice today, Melissa. So if people want to get in touch with you, can you give us your contact information?
Sure. Right now, the best way is through my Facebook page. It's actually Soul, spelled S-O-L, Soul Kitchen Studios, studios is plural, and it's a Facebook page.
Is there any other place on the internet we can look for your work?
Look for Soul Kitchen Studios on Etsy.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning, Melissa. I know that your information here is absolutely going to impact at least one person out there, if not many. And one person is all we need to reach, right?
That is wonderful. That would be a wonderful thing to happen.
Something else I think is very worthwhile to put out to our listeners is that Melissa is going to be taking part in the Hay Creek Festival at the Joanna Furnace in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. This is September 12th and 13th from 8 to 5, and you can access their website at www.haycreek.org. Okay, so for today's Go Do, I'm calling out all Motivate Me Ultimate Support System members. Go do this. Get dirty. Put your hands in some bread dough, some cookie dough, some mud. Put your hands in sand or clay or paint or anything else that's creative. Get out there, get dirty, be creative, and tell me all about it on Facebook. I'll be looking for you.